All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Trenadapi sunichena Toror iva sahishnuna Amanina manadena Kirtaniya sadahari Harinama 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 iva kevalam Kalau nasyeva 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 gatiranyata Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Tonight I would like to speak on the subject known as the five main subject matters of Bhagavad Gita. My spiritual master, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, in his introduction to the Bhagavad Gita, points out that there are five subject matters. So I'd like to give that, because that is how I am inspired for today, with your permission. First, I want to offer respects to you, because you are all devotees. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanang bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. The first subject matter, the Sanskrit word Ishvara. Ishvara in general means the controller. But in Bhagavad Gita, we are taught that there is a Parama Ishvara or a Parameshvara. And this is clearly enunciated by the speaker of Bhagavad Gita more than once. He clearly says, I am the Supreme Controller. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan Krishna says that I am the controller of both the material and spiritual realms. There is a distinction. There are these two categories. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that there is an inferior nature and a superior nature. So that nature, prakriti, that is another subject matter of Bhagavad Gita. But we should know from Bhagavad Gita that there are two prakritis, and they have their different characteristics, and the quality is different. There is the material prakriti. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna himself says that this material nature or material prakriti is inferior. That is the implication of what Krishna says in chapter 7. Inferior. Because in the Bhagavad Gita, he says that this material nature can be understood as 8 separated energies: earth, water, fire, air, ether or sky, mind, intelligence, and material ego or false ego. Then in the very next verse, Krishna introduces that there is a superior prakriti, para prakriti, a superior. So by indicating that there's a superior energy, automatically he's saying that the material energy is inferior. Otherwise, there would be no need for him to say, besides this inferior nature, there is a superior nature. That is the spiritual nature or energy. So, Krishna says in the Gita, I am the controller of both. And Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita, there is no controller equal to or superior to me. This is exactly what the speaker of Bhagavad Gita says. And in chapter 15, this Ishwara or Parameshwara, Krishna, he says that even in the spiritual world, the para prakriti, the spiritual superior energy, everybody that lives in that realm is infallible, but I am superior to them. And therefore, Krishna says, I am celebrated both in the Vedas and elsewhere. Everywhere I am celebrated as Purushottam, the topmost supreme controller or person. So Bhagavad Gita clearly delineates, and it's more than once, how Krishna is the supreme controller. The second item or subject matter, Jiva. Jiva is the living entity. As Krishna says, Jiva Bhuta. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that the Jiva is my Ansha. The Jiva is my fragmental expansion. The Jiva, and that's why, after delineating Prakriti, material Prakriti, and saying, besides this inferior material nature, there is a superior energy known as the living entity, Jiva. And the Jiva is claimed by Krishna that he is the Father. All the Jivas are placed in this material world, but he says, I am the seed-giving Father. All the Jivas come from Ishwar, come from Krishna originally. Therefore, everyone is child of God. You can say son of God or child of God. You could even say daughter. Why? Because Prakriti is female. Jiva is actually female. You can see it in different ways. Whichever way you like, the point remains, we are coming from God. And the example I find best, the particle of sunshine emanates from the sun. So we emanate from Ishwara, from Krishna, from the Supreme. And we learn in the Bhagavad Gita, in the very beginning, Jiva means individuality, eternal individuality. That's an important lesson to be gleaned from Bhagavad Gita. Eternal individuality. In the past, at present, right? We're all individual living entities. So this individuality existed before. There was no beginning. After all, what does Krishna say in chapter 2? The living being has not come into existence and will not come into existence, meaning it always existed. So one of the first things you learn from Bhagavad Gita is that eternally you are an individual. You always were an individual, and you will always be an individual. But not the individual that you see in the mirror. That's the very first lesson of Bhagavad Gita. You're not what you see in the mirror. Still, you're an eternal individual, but you have not yet seen your real self. That is the definition of self-realization. To actually see who you really are. Just as you would be offended if I came up to you and said, "Oh, hello, red shirt." That's not who you are. Or if I came up to you, "Oh, hello, Lexus. Hello, Mercedes-Benz." You would think, what happened to Nirantara? He went crazy. You're not the clothes you wear. You're not the car you drive. And both examples are used by Ishwara Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita to distinguish jiva from the body. You change your body, you change your clothes. You change your car, you change your body. But you, the driver, right? When you drove your previous car, you were the same person. Now you upgraded, got a better car, but you haven't changed. Your car changed. Today, somebody gave me this kurta yesterday as a gift from India. So I'm wearing this for the first time. I was wearing a different kurta yesterday. But not that I'm wearing this kurta and now I'm a different person. No, I'm the same person. So this is the first lesson of Bhagavad Gita, the difference between the prakriti, the material energy which covers the jiva. The material energy covers the jiva because the jiva, the soul, is actually superior spiritual nature. Now, the understanding. If I'm a jiva, if I'm an eternal, part and parcel individual, why do I exist? What is my purpose? The conclusion of Bhagavad Gita is that the purpose of your existence is to serve. Yes, serve. But you have a choice. Your choice is which of the two prakritis are you going to serve? That is basically the only choice you have as a jiva. The jiva, there's another word, tatastha. Tatastha means can go either way. Just like yesterday, my wife, she wanted to go to the beach. So we went, and the waves were very strong. Very strong waves. And if you walk on the sand, if you go too close, your feet will get wet. So as you're walking, the waves come. Sometimes your feet get wet. Sometimes the waves don't, okay? Because it's tatastha. You're at that marginal. Or another example, when you're driving on the freeway, there are lanes. But if you start to doze off, what happens to your car? You start to merge in another lane. Be careful. You can have an accident. But in those lanes, when you're driving, you can go in different lanes. So that's also marginal. And when you're driving, you're careful. Because if you're driving and you notice somebody is coming over into your lane and doesn't see you, what do you do? Honk, honk, honk. Hey, hey, hey. You're coming Very similar. So the jiva, being on this marginal platform, is sometimes serving the inferior material nature, or sometimes serving the superior spiritual nature. The choice, yours. Some people, I know because I get this question every year throughout the year. What about destiny? What about fate? What about free will? Yes, it seems to be a confusing, but the Bhagavad Gita informs us, you always have free will. At any moment, you can choose, I will now serve the material nature, or I will serve the spiritual nature. The whole purpose of coming to temple, the whole purpose of reading Bhagavad Gita is to strengthen the mind and the intelligence so that one is constantly deciding to go to the superior energy. Someone may say, well, what's wrong with staying in the material energy? I like the material energy. Okay. Bhagavad Gita points that out. Oh, you like the material energy? Really? But Krishna says, do you like birth, death, old age, and disease? Because that's part and parcel of the material energy. Do you like that? Anybody here like getting old? Anybody here like getting sick? If you had a choice right now, okay, anyone who wants to get sick, come. You don't want that. In fact, you spend thousands of dollars not to get sick. And you spend thousands of dollars when you get sick. And when there's a serious disease, you want everybody to pray for you. Right? If you have a loved one with a chronic disease, then we have, please, everyone pray for my wife or daughter or husband or aunt, whatever. Nobody likes disease. Krishna says these four things, birth, death, old age, and disease. These are unwanted. And what does Krishna say? This prakriti, material prakriti, is temporary and full of suffering. The Ishwar, the controller, the creator, the manufacturer himself is telling you why you shouldn't want to be in this material nature. I've given the example thousands of times. Sometimes the car you bought, you get an email, recall. There's a defect with the particular car you bought or a particular item, electronic equipment, right? Or I'm sure some of you have computer. And you get notice, oh, very serious computer virus, right? So the manufacturer knows about the defect and informs you. The manufacturer of the material energy himself is telling you this material nature is inferior, and what are you going to experience by trying to stay in this material nature? Temporary suffering. Okay, but he leaves you free will. You can say, that's all right. I don't mind. Yes, but you have that choice. You can continue to come back birth after birth. It's already happened thousands and thousands of times already. This is not your first birth. When in the Bhagavatam, the story of Chitraketu, how after so long, even though he had 10 million wives, none of them could give him a son. Finally, by the arrangement of two rishis, he was able to have a son. But then that son was poisoned by the nine, all the other queens, because only one queen could give birth. So I said he had 10 million, right? So the 9,999,999 others became jealous and envious and poisoned the baby. So the king and the queen were completely frustrated, lamenting the death of their child, which they had been waiting for so long. So when the rishis came back, Narada Muni brought the dead baby back to life. And the dead baby spoke. And the dead baby said, "Why are you crying? You think I was your son? I've had so many mothers in the past. And I'm already taking my next birth in my next family. What are you crying about?" This is the teachings of our scriptures. I'm not making this up. It's right there, sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So the jiva has choice at every moment. Do I want to serve? Because service, that's it. I started this particular section. What is the purpose of life? And I made the statement. The purpose of life is to render service. You can accept it or not. But if you look at it, even if you're President Obama, you're still a servant. Even if you're the king, you're still a servant. Everybody is a servant. Now the question is, who do you want to serve? I came to this realization at the age of 23. That was 40 years ago. I had been reading my spiritual master's books, and I understood what he was teaching. Servant, that's what I am. Now, who am I going to serve? Am I going to serve lust, anger, greed, like Duryodhan? That was Duryodhan. He was determined to serve his lust and his anger and his greed. Those three big sins of Duryodhan. And Bhagavad Gita says, oh, lust, anger, and greed? Those are the three gates to hell. Welcome. So the Bhagavad Gita, why we come to this temple? To be convinced that I should voluntarily choose to serve the superior spiritual nature, Srimati Radharani. That's why we say Hare Krishna, Radha Govinda, Sita Ram, Lakshmi Narayan. We are praying. We are, like I've said many times, my father does not understand what is chanting. Always he asks me, why are you repeating that same thing over and over and over again? Because I go like this when I visit my father. I look like this. And he hears me and my wife. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram. Why are you doing that? He doesn't understand. When we chant this Maha Mantra, we are indicating, I want to serve the superior spiritual nature, not the inferior material nature. And the Bhagavad Gita points out, what is the ultimate goal of engaging in the superior spiritual nature? The goal is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of, this like, this is kingdom of Durga. Material world is the kingdom of Durga. She is the supreme here in this material world. But she has a few weapons. Right? So there is a spiritual world mentioned by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. He says, Parangdama, mama, my, this material world he has given to Durga and Shiva. But his abode, who's there? Radha, Krishna, his abode. And his abode is eternal. Everything there is fully conscious. Everything there is blissful. Blissful is different from happiness. Happiness comes and goes. You all have experience. I have experience. Happiness comes and goes. Whether it's sattva, rajas, or tamas. That's in the Bhagavad Gita. I was just reading it before I started speaking today. 18th chapter. Three kinds of happiness. Happiness and goodness, passion, ignorance. But they're different. But all of them still temporary. All of them. The devatas, demigods, are considered to be primarily in Satvagun. That's why they're there. But they know one day I have to come back to Placentia. Yes, they cannot stay there. Even Lord Brahma. Nobody in the material world can stay in their position eternally. Everything is rotating. Just like last so many years, Manohar was temple president. Did a fantastic job. But he knew after so many, and also he had the previous, right? And you were, I think you were happy. Okay, my term is up. Shh, thank God. Now I can live again. Am I right? Right? You went through so many things, right? And you saw things that, wow, I didn't know was like that. I know. I was, for how many, 5 years, I was vice president of ISKCON New Dwarka. So I know what it's like. And one day it's up. Now I can be normal again. So even the demigods, they're in those positions, posts, but it's not permanent. The next Indra is the now Bali Maharaj, according to Bhagavatam. Bali Maharaj becomes the next Indra. After all, he got cheated. Vamana Dev cheated him, right? Bali conquered. Vamana Dev chalayasi vikramane balim madbhuta vamana. Vamana Dev cheated him. So he said, okay, next time you can be. So the next Indra will be Bali. Yes. So the Bhagavad Gita is pointing out you should serve the superior spiritual nature. That is what bhakti is. What is bhakti? Bhakti means the conscious decision that I want to serve the superior spiritual nature. I don't want to serve the inferior material nature. That's the choice of the jiva. And at every moment, you have that choice. Now, I mentioned that there were two prakritis, material, spiritual. Now there's this other, I mentioned, those of you who didn't come at the very beginning, Sisi Radha Raman Bhagavan Ki. The title today of my lecture is The Five Subject Matters of Bhagavad Gita as taught by my spiritual master. So we discussed Ishwar. We discussed Jiva, living entity. We discussed Prakriti. Now, karma. Karma is the only one of the five that is not eternal. Thank God. If karma was eternal, you would never get liberation. But karma is like this fan. The fan is running as long as the electricity and the switch is on. So when I do a karma, good or bad, because there's two kinds of karma. Good karma, bad karma. Pious activity, sinful activity. Two kinds of karma. But whether it's good or bad, it's not eternal. And just like if the switch is pulled, the fan still goes, but eventually it stops because there's no more juice, no more electricity going. So all of our karma, good and bad, is just like that. It has a shelf life, your karma. But the problem is we're at every moment producing new ones. So one ends, but we've already started so many others. And that's why it's not easy to determine what someone's next life is. That's why Yamaraj, the judge of every living entity, he needs Krishna's help to help him decide where everybody goes in their next life. Because nobody is all bad and nobody's all good. There's a mixture, debits and credits on your bank statement. So Yamaraj has to judge every soul. Here are the debits, here are the credits. Jing, jing, jing. Krishna tells him, here's the next birth. Go. So karma is not eternal. But Bhagavad Gita and Krishna in Bhagavad Gita is saying, actually, there's a third. There's karma, vikarma, akarma. Now this topic, many people misunderstand. Some people think this akarma means no action. That is a misunderstanding. Because Krishna says, if you think that's what akarma is, that's an impossibility. Because the jiva is always active. Even while you're asleep, the soul is still active. So to think or to understand that akarma means I stop all action, impossibility. As long as you're alive, you're going to be desiring. That's an action. So there's this, because I know, I've heard it from so many, I'm not preaching from yesterday. I've been doing this for 40 years. I've heard it all. I'll go every year, I hear something new. The point remains, the true definition, the correct definition of akarma is bhakti. That's akarma. Bhakti. When you act, like I was saying before, when you decide to serve the superior spiritual nature, that is a karma and not otherwise. A karma means no material good reaction, no material bad reaction. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that if you perform a karma, if you perform bhakti, I liberate you from both pious and sinful reactions. And sometimes people are afraid of that. What? I'm not going to enjoy my good pious activities? That's what Krishna is saying. Why? Someone may say, why? I like my good pious. Yeah. If you like your good pious activities, you're going to have to take birth again. Are you willing to do that? But I'm going to enjoy. So that's all right. In order to enjoy pious activities, you have to take another birth. No moksha. Take birth again. Like I said, the demigods in heaven. How did they get there? By lottery? No. The demigods got there by performing heaps and heaps and heaps and lifetimes of pious activities. For instance, some of you who have listened to my lectures over the years, how does somebody become Lord Brahma? Because that's also a post. How do you become Lord Brahma? As a human being, you have to live without sin for 100 lifetimes. Good luck. Actually, sometimes there's nobody fit for the post. So sometimes Krishna becomes Lord Brahma because sometimes nobody's qualified. So that's what it takes to become Lord Brahma. 100 human lives, no mistakes. Other positions, you have to perform so many austerities and penances to enter the realms of the devatas. But it's temporary. Because it's karma. It's karma. Akarma means devotional, bhakti, service to God. Not service to man. That's not bhakti. Bhakti, yes. It is incorrect when you hear this expression. Manava seva is madhava seva. That is incorrect. Manava seva is manava seva. At least Krishna doesn't say that. The Bhagavatam doesn't say that. You not find that in Bhagavad Gita. No. Just like men. You wouldn't go to your wife and say, oh, that's all right. I sent Valentine's flowers to my girlfriend. Because after all, she's a woman, you're a woman. So I gave it to her. Would you accept that? No, you slap him on his face. Get out of here. Service to the wife is service to the wife. And service to some other woman, that's a different. It's not the same. God is a person. So you serve God, you serve God. You serve man, you serve man. So bhakti means service to God. Now we come to the last of the five items, kala, eternal time. This material world, and Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that classic scene, Krishna is displaying the universal form. Arjuna is describing what he is seeing. He's trembling. He's fearful. And at some point he says, who are you? What is your mission? And the universal form says, I am time. And my business? Destroy everything. So this time element, It's all pervasive. Why? Because it's a energy, and it's a representation. It is Krishna, time. Everything has a fixed time, like this lecture. In 5 minutes, done. I can't go on for 8 hours. Cooking, you all know. You cook that rice too long, unedible. You know, 15, 20 minutes, take it. All cooking is time. Your work, it's all under time. Your life, the clock is ticking. Every day you're looking in the mirror. You're seeing the effect of time. You're seeing it. Actually, mostly we don't see it because it's so imperceptible, but it's going. So time, eternal time, is an energy manifestation of Krishna. We only have so much time as a human being. That's why this opportunity of human life it's a responsibility. That's another, you can say, message. That I have this human form of life. 60, I know, many of you, like every time, every Sunday, there's an announcement. Somebody just died. Sometimes he's only 56 years old, right? Nobody, how many people you know live to be 100? Not everybody. So you only have so much time. Maharaj Parikshit, how much time did he have? 7 days. Ask yourself, I'm dealing with this myself. How much time do I have? 5 years? Maybe. But can I guarantee? Yes, I will live 5 more years. Doctor can't guarantee that. We have any doctors here? Any doctor here can say, I guarantee my patient will live such... Mm-mm. No doctor can guarantee that. It'd be foolish. Because there could be a big lawsuit. You said I would live 10 years. No, this is not in your hand. The clock is ticking. And what does that mean, the clock is ticking? The next birth is coming. How did I lead my life? Did I waste my time? Or did I utilize it? Did I take full advantage of the human form of life? Or did I spoil it? Sometimes, it happens sometimes. We put so much time, energy, money into our children. Sometimes it comes out good. But sometimes, after so much putting, it didn't turn out good. Sometimes we become disgusted. This person, this child, had every opportunity, but spoiled it, wasted it. It happens all the time in America. All the time. Rich kid, comes from wealthy family, but became a complete debauchee. It's been going on for so long. So each and every one of us, the clock is ticking. We have only so much time. And I'm going to be judged. Everyone is going to be judged. How did you utilize your time? Did you take full advantage? And what is your debit, credit account? That's all right. Krishna's final instruction of Bhagavad Gita solves it. Thank God for Krishna and Bhagavad Gita. Because what does Krishna say? That's all right. If you surrender to me exclusively, Mam Ekam, exclusively, I will deliver you. Deliver you from what? Sarva Papebhyo, all sinful reactions. Therefore, Krishna says, Ma Shucha. Don't hesitate. Surrender to Krishna now. Ma Suchaha. Don't worry. Ma Shucha. Don't doubt. Don't fear. That is the conclusion. The intelligent question is, Prabhu, how do I surrender? Easy. Raise your hand. Repeat after me. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama, Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare. May Krishna bless you, protect you, and maintain you. Thank you very much.